Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it?
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for this show: if there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC is an economic serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African American owned renewable energy companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for renewable energy projects to bring down the under and unemployment of young African-American men locally and nationally, also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. You also know, if you join us on a regular basis, that this show is brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. You're listening to that initiative over the platform of Blog Talk Radio. We are can be heard on iTunes. We are also we're streaming over Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Also, this week show is brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar, and you can get more information on that organization by logging on to blacksinsolar.org. Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen, we don't have any scheduled guests today, but you know, if you join us on a regular basis, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen. That call-in number is 646-668-2948. And you can dial that call-in number. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because you'll be in our green room and we want to bring you right on in our living room and sit down and have a interesting discussion today about the fact sheet. Biden-Harris administration driving the U.S. battery manufacturing and good paying jobs. Now, one thing about solar energy, ladies and gentlemen, one of the major matches for that is battery storage. And in the U.S., the Biden administration is looking at how do we compete in that arena. And we're going to jump right on into our topic of discussion this morning as we take a closer look. The Harris and Biden administration are doing as it relates to putting together funding for this industry on your tax dollar. Now, the White House Intergovernmental Affairs Office published this press release on October 19th, 2022. The Department of Energy is awarding U.S. Department of Energy $2.8 billion from a bipartisan infrastructure law to boost domestic manufacturing. The administration is launching the American Battery Materials Initiative to strengthen critical mineral supply chains. Today, President Biden is announcing that the Department of Energy is awarding $2.8 billion in grants from the bipartisan infrastructure law to 20 manufacturing and processing companies for projects across 12 states. President Biden is also announcing the American Battery Materials Initiative, a new effort to mobilize the entire government in securing a reliable and sustainable supply of critical materials used for power, electricity, and electric vehicles. Together, these actions will improve Americans' independence, strengthening the national security, support good-paying jobs across battery supply chains, and lower costs for working families. President Biden set an ambitious goal for electric vehicles, EVs, to make half of all new vehicles sold in the U.S. by 2030 electric. Thanks to his leadership, economic, and industrial strategy, landmark legislation accomplishments, the United States is seeing historically investments in electric vehicle and battery manufacturing, which has resulted in EV sales tripling since President Biden took office. This market transition is expected to increase the demand for critical materials such as lithium and graphite used in EV batteries. Today's announcements demonstrate how the U.S. is poised to meet this challenge while growing our energy and creating high-quality union jobs in the battery supply chain. The bipartisan infrastructure law, CHIPS and Science Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, combined with investments with more than $135 billion to build America's electric vehicle future. Did you understand what I just said, indicated, ladies and gentlemen, that the U.S. government is investing $135 billion to build America's electric vehicle future, including critical materials, sourcing and processing, and battery manufacturing? The bipartisan infrastructure law alone investments are more than $7 billion to help domestic manufacturers have the critical minerals and other necessary components to manufacture the batteries we need to meet our climate goals. The Inflation Reduction Act makes new and used EVs more affordable for consumers with tax credits that support using minerals and battery components from the United States and our allies. And it includes credits to help manufacturers retool existing factories, build new battery manufacturing and critical mineral processing in the United States, as well as grants to deploy zero emissions of the heavy-duty vehicles. President Biden's economic agenda has already ignited a domestic manufacturing boom, with companies announcing over $100 billion in EV and EV charging investments right here in the United States. Today's actions and the launch of the American Battery Material Initiative will also make America more competitive, ensuring that we can make more in America to support our own supply chains and workers. The U.S. and its allies currently do not produce enough of the critical materials and battery materials needed to power clean energy technologies. China currently controls much of the critical material supply chains and the lack of mining, processing, and recycling capacity in the U.S. could hinder electric vehicle deployment and adoption, leaving the U.S. dependent on unreliable foreign supply chains. The American Battery Materials Initiative will align the leverage the federal resources to growing the end-to-end battery supply chains, work with stakeholders, allies, and partners to develop more substantial resource-reliant supply chains and support faster and fairer permitting for projects that build domestic supply chains. Now, battery manufacturing awards. Today, the U.S. Department of Energy is announcing the first set of projects funded by the president's bipartisan infrastructure law, expanding domestic manufacturing of batteries for electric vehicles and the electric grid, including $2.8 billion for 20 manufacturing processing companies in 12 states, including Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Missouri, Nevada, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Tennessee, and Washington. Can we say red states? See, I'm not confused, but as I look at where these facilities are going to be built, I see my home state being left out of the loop again. South Carolina, there's a project for Georgia, there's a project for North Carolina, but South Carolina is left high and dry again. I just wanted to mention that, ladies and gentlemen, because it's real interesting, the dynamics and the politics of where this funding is coming out of these federal agencies. We watch that very carefully. When matched by recipients, the funding leveraged a total of more than $9 billion to boost American production in EV batteries. Projects will have positive impacts on their own and also catalyze a whole U.S. industry in a critical phase of the battery supply chain. The funding for selected projects will support developing enough battery lithium to supply approximately 2 million EVs annually, deploying enough battery-grade graphite to supply approximately 1.2 million EVs annually, producing enough battery-grade nickel to supply approximately 400,000 EVs annually, installing the first large-scale commercial lithium electrode salt production facility in the United States, developing an electrode binder facility capable of supplying 45% of the anticipated domestic demand for binder for EV batteries by the year 2030. Creating the first commercial-scale domestic silicone oxide production facilities to supply and own materials for an estimated 600,000 EV batteries annually. Installing the first lithium and phosphate cobalt facility in the United States. All projects will develop enough lithium to supply over 2 million electric vehicles annually and establish significant domestic production of graphite and nickel. Now, as we indicated, we know what states these projects are going into. All right? As we looked at those states of Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Missouri, Nevada, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Tennessee, and Washington. The question becomes, how many African Americans are positioned to even look at this opportunity? This is why we formed the National Association of Blacks in Solar. All projects that will develop, it's going to supply 2 million electric vehicles annually. Now, we as African Americans comprise, quote unquote, 13% of the population of 300 million folks, so we are a little close to 60 or 70 million folks. I will challenge that based at looking at how we are grossly undercounted during the census, U.S. Census, okay? Now, as we began to look at American Battery Materials Initiative, President Biden is committed to advancing American energy security and energy independence as he's taken historical action to tackle climate crisis. Today, the White House is launching a new whole of government effort to secure reliable and sustainable supplies of critical materials that power everything from electric vehicles to homes to defensive systems. American Battery Material Initiative will be led by the White House Steering Committee and coordinated by the Department of Energy with support from the Department of Interior. The critical materials and large capacity battery supply chain review. There's a blue link here, ladies and gentlemen. You can click on that. This is initiated by the Executive Order 14017, recommending, number one, taking materials by mineral approach to both expand sustainable environmental response, domestic mining, processing, and recycling of critical materials. Number two, working with partners and allies to diversify international supply chains, recognizing that America's national and economic security is bolstered through strong alliances and international coalitions for reliable partners, reinforced the security of our supply chains. Number three, and developing faster and fairer domestic processes that meet strong environmental label standards to ensure meaningful community engagement and consultation with tribal nations and to reduce time and cost of permitting. The initiative will work through the Partnership for Global Infrastructure and Investment and leverage ongoing work by the Department of State to work with partners and allies to strengthen critical supply chains globally, and it will leverage and maximize ongoing efforts throughout the U.S. government to meet resource requirements and bolster energy security. To further accelerate efforts to secure the supply chain for critical materials and materials needed for advanced batteries, the initiative will coordinate White House and agency attention to implement the president's critical material strategy, align ongoing work on critical material supply chains, coordinate community and industrial engagement, help guide research grants and loans supporting environmental responsible critical extractions, processing, recycling, aid diplomatic efforts to build reliable, sustainable global supply chains. The initiative will also strengthen federal engagement, partnerships, and consultation with the private sector, state, tribal, local governments, environmental leaders, and laboratory unions to more effective martial resources ensure concerns of tribes and local communities are heard and addressed early in the planning process and reflect our nation's commitment to higher environmental, social, and labor standards. Finally, the initiative will leverage deep ongoing engagement in the international partnership and allies to map resources, advanced strategies, partnerships, diversity, global supply chains, and raise international environmental community workers' safety standards for extraction, processing, recycling through the initiative. The administration is acting on this commitment to build fairly and scale the speed of executing a modern American industrial strategy. President Biden economic plan in action. Now, President Biden's economic plan is about building out the middle class from the bottom up and middle out, lowering costs for working families and creating good-paying jobs in America. Today, action builds on President Biden's historical action to secure critical mineral supply chains for battery manufacturing, including invoking the Defense Production Act. If you don't know what that is, ladies and gentlemen, there's a blue link there, and you need to do a little reading. To authorize investment to secure American production of critical materials for electric vehicles and stationary storage batteries, lithium, nickel, cobalt, graphite, and manganese for sustainable mining and processes, as well as unconventional sources as mine waste and geothermal turbines. Investing more than $200 million through the Department of Defense in the rare supply chains, which is currently controlled by China, to facilitate the reinvestment of an end-to-end American supply chain for rare earth permanent magnets used in the mine turbines and electric vehicles motors by 2025, issuing $102 million through the Department of Energy Loan Program for Cyclops Resorts in VIDAA, Louisiana, to produce the first domestic battery-grade natural graphite active antinodes materials and materials for which the U.S. is currently 100% reliant on China. Advancing scientific innovation through a $510.7 million investment from the bipartisan infrastructure law from the United States Geospatial Services, USGS, to better map the nation's mineral resources, both still in the ground and in the mine waste, to preserve historical geographic data and samples, and to construct a USGA Energy and Mine Research Center in partnership with Colorado School of Mines, launching a mining led by the Department of Interior to make recommendations for improving necessary to ensure that new production meets strong environmental community and tribal engagement standards while improving the efficiency and outcomes and permitting process, launching permitting action plans to strengthen, accelerate federal permitting and environmental reviews with a sectorial focus on critical materials, releasing a national blueprint for lithium batteries by between 2021 and 2030, through the Federal Consortium of Advanced Batteries, which aims to put the U.S. on path on the long-term competitiveness in a global battery value chain. Launching the Battery Workforce Initiative to lead the Department of Energy in partnerships with labor to develop industry-recognized training and credentials to support rapid and high-quality workforce development. Launching a partnership for global infrastructure investment a whole of governmental initiatives coordinated with the G7 countries to drive infrastructure investment in low and middle income communities, strategic sectors, including responsible mining materials, critical materials, and investing in new global refining processes and battery manufacturing sites, establishing the Mineral Security Partnership, which includes Australia, Canada, Finland, France, Germany, Japan, the Republic of Korea, Sweden, United Kingdom, United States, and the European Commission to catalyze investments from governments and the private sector for strategic opportunities across the full value chain that adheres to the highest environmental, social, and governance standards. Ladies and gentlemen, I've read the entire release put out by the White House Intergovernmental Affairs Office. And you can do the same by logging on to positivechangepc.com. You can click on our news and events tab, and you will find there this specific article. And I think that there are links here that you're going to want to sort of, as we say, drill down on, such as the Defense Production Act. Now, when you click on that link, it will say Defense Production Act, Title III, Presidential Determination of Critical Materials and Large Capacity Batteries. And that is dated on, released on March. It's dated April 5th, 2022, but it was actually published on March 31st, 2022, when President Biden signed a determination permitting the U.S. the Defense Production Act, okay? And you can read the entire piece, and I think I will because it's very short. With this action, the president gave the Department of Defense, DOD, the authority to increase domestic mining and the processing of critical materials for large capacity battery supply chain. The United States depends on an unreliable foreign source for many of the strategic and critical materials necessary for clean energy transition, as lithium, nickel, cobalt, graphite, manganese, and large capacity batteries. Demand for such materials is projected to increase exponentially as the world transitions to a clean energy economy. The DPA Title III authorities enables DOE to undertake actions including but not limited to feasibility studies and modernization projects for mature mining, the beneficiation of value-added processes, projects to increase productivity, environmental sustainability, and workforce safety. It also allows for product and co-product production, mining, waste reclamation, and other industrial facilities. This determination reiterates the administration's commitment for sustainable development and provides an example of how other nations can responsibly reduce the process of critical material in large-scale batteries. The department continues to work with key stakeholders to use DPA Title III authorities to address risk challenges across the supply chain for large capacity batteries. These authorities expanded options and opportunities to accelerate the scale of critical investment across key markets. More information about the DPA title is available here, and you can click on it. There's several other links there, and as you can see, one link leads to the other link, which provides more information. But this is much, as the little boy said, that's as much as we're going to do today on this particular article today. because you can do the same thing I just did by logging on where? ThePositiveChangePC.com. That's PositiveChangePC.com. You can click on our news and events tab, and you'll be right there. And as we say, you'll be in the house. So what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a slight pause for the cause, and we'll be right back here on Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America, as we take a slight pause for the cause here on Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Life is a song worth singing. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Buffet, and you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. And as we were just talking about looking at battery manufacturing, as it relates to solar industry, ladies and gentlemen, these resources and these supply chains will also be used for large-scale battery manufacturing, not just for EVs, because we're going to be looking at a situation where you're going to have battery backup storage for these electric vehicle charging hubs that will be on your interstate highways across this country. Because when the sun goes down, people travel 24/7, 365 days a year. So you're going to have these battery charging facilities built right into the charging hubs. They won't take a lot of space, but they'll have to be a part of that. And that means there's a great demand for these things. What's interesting to me is to award these opportunities. These are all red states, but yet, don't get this twisted, because I'm a registered independent. I vote my interests. I am trying to see how in the world that the Republican governors, Republican Party, have given not one voted for the Inflation Reduction Act, the caught hell getting the American Rescue Plan built, the infrastructure passed, but yet all of these states are going to receive billions of dollars in economic development through the Biden administration. But when we begin to look into these states, how do we assure that 40% of these opportunities will be afforded to communities of color. That is why it's interesting to me. Nobody's talking about African-American businesses and entrepreneurs getting specific carve-outs to position themselves, their companies, to be able to take advantage of this. There's no buzz. There's no conversation around from our historically black colleges and universities that we know of. And there should be conferences going on right now. I understand it's October, it's the fall, and it is homecoming season, but we're talking about an industry which is going to provide a paradigm shift in transportation. You are going completely away from combustion engines run by fossil fuels to electric vehicles, which will be a paradigm shift in the transportation industry. And without, you're not even talking about how the U.S. will be able to maintain itself as a world power and leading manufacturing in these arenas unless this infrastructure is put in place. This is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. Where is the conversation in the African-American community on Black Talk Radio? This information, I'm not making it up. You can go to positivechangepc.com, click on our news and events tab, and it's right there. We're going to sort of change gears, and we're going to look at some solutions to this, to these issues and these problems by looking at an article that is been put out by Emerald City, which is run by a very dynamic African-American woman. And I'm searching for that particular article right now as we are speaking. Just if you will bear with me, we were talking about, let me go back to my October update, so the People's Community Playbook benefit, okay? Let me click on that link. All right, that takes me right there. October updates, People Community Better Playbook. All right, let's freshen up our browser here, and we're going to go and find that article another way, because we want to be able to, when you make your call, I want to make sure I'm there to answer the call. So as we are strolling down now, we are looking for that specific article. Yes, we'll be there very shortly, ladies and gentlemen. And you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, our call-in number is 646-668-2948. And we want you to call into that number, and we'll bring you right in from our living room from the green room into our living room, and we'll be more than happy to sit down with you and have this discussion about these opportunities that are being rolled out at your and my expense as taxpayers in this country. And as they say in the area field of Black Talk Radio, that's real talk, ladies and gentlemen, because we are paying for this whether we know it or not. So it doesn't make any difference on what your opinion is. This is not my opinion. These are announcements that's being put out by our federal government, and this is what they're going to do. And this is how they're going to move this platform forward. An election does have consequences, ladies and gentlemen, because a lot of these things that we're talking about, if there is not a change in the Senate, a lot of these things, and if the Republicans get control of the Senate, a lot of these things will not happen, okay? And there's a lot of things at stake right now as we look at what is going on with the Biden administration, as we look at the midterms right now that upon us. Early voting is already taking place, and it is going to impact what we are doing in our day-to-day lives. I think I'm going to have to find this article the way I was originally going after it. So we'll do it that way because we want to get right into the meat of our discussion with you. So what we're going to do, we're going to click on the article, which is published on October 21st, 2022, from Emerald Cities. Now, the federal update and announcements. The Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, launches a new office of focus on environmental justice and civil rights. Last month, EPA announced their new Office of Environmental Justice and External Civil Rights, in addition to engaging with environmental justice communities enforcing federal civil rights laws. The new office will provide resources and technical assistance to communities. This includes overseeing distribution of climate and environmental justice grants, $2.8 billion established within the Inflation Reduction Act. The block grant opportunity makes funding available to community-based organizations for projects that benefit disadvantaged communities. These are things that our community need to be on top of, without question. Environmental Justice Scoreboard public comment period has been extended. Extended deadline, I'm clicking on that. QEO extends public process to inform the development of the first version of the Environmental Justice Scoreboard. And I'm trying to see, after hearing from environmental justice leaders, community-based organizations, allies, groups, and members of the public from across the country, the White House Council on Environmental Quality and the Office of Management and Budget, OBM, have extended public comments periods from the first version of the Environmental Justice Scoreboard. The current 60-day public comment period will be extended 30 days from October 30th to November 30th, and from October 3rd, 2022 to November 3rd, 2022. A notice of extensions will appear in the Federal Register. In the request for information, the RFI White House is seeking public input put on it. The vision, framework, and outcome of the first version of the Environmental Justice Scoreboard. RFI is informed by initial set of recommendations that the White House Environmental Justice Advisory Council provided early this year. The first version of the scoreboard will provide baseline assessments of federal efforts to secure environmental justice for all. It will describe the process of activities that federal agencies have undertaken, including new processes since 2021. Environmental Justice Scoreboard will update regularly, and federal government will build on and improve scoreboards year after year. As the White House develops future versions of the scoreboard, it will continue to provide opportunities with WHEJA environmental justice stakeholders and with the public to provide recommendations, including on metrics and indicators to help access federal government efforts to advancing environmental justice for all. The public can continue to submit comments on vision, framework, and outcomes of the Federal Justice Scoreboard until Thursday, November 3rd, 2022. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, what we are looking at as we begin to look at the scoreboard and what it was, what it's supposed to do, number one, reduce harms and burdens, burden disproportionately by communities that a category would measure the regulatory enforcement and other action taken to reduce harms and environmental injustices. You know, it's amazing to me when our government wants to address poor folk in this country, people who are living below the poverty line, how they use all of these large-scale words. Even if people are living above the federal government area median income, AMI, are they living below? Ain't no between that. Delivering justice for the related investment benefits, the category would measure the administration processes on in the implementation of the Justice 40 initiative, among other environmental justice efforts. Number three, undertaking institutional reform to the center community voice in decision making. This category would capture measures taken to reform agencies' decisions to incorporate the perspectives, priorities, and live experience of environmental justice communities. Within the RFI, the CEQ has outlined several questions in which they are seeking community feedback. The questions focus on CEQ's vision, framework, and engagement around environmental justice scoreboard. To see the list of questions, check in with the RFI. There's a blue link that you can click on, and we will do that, but we want to finish reading what is in front of us. You can also provide your federal feedback here. There's a link here, blue link here. Submitting your feedback to include a name, agency name, council, or environmental quality on the docket number. In your public comments, you should also know that all comments submitted will be posted publicly on regulatory governments without making changes to make sure you don't include any information that you would like to be kept private. Now, they're telling you what to put, how to drop it out there. If you don't want it out there, don't put it in the document because they're going to post it. But that means that they're trying to provide some what they call transparency in this process, allegedly, so you give people their propers. Now, as I indicated, there is a link for here for the RFI. And those questions, you can click on it, and it provides a summary. The Council on Environmental Quality is issuing a request for information, which is known as a RF, to solicit feedback on the version of framework and outcomes of the Environmental Justice Scope Board. It is dated October the 3rd, ladies and gentlemen. This thing is open until November the 3rd, 2022. You may submit comments. They provide the docket number. I don't have to read that. Federal Rulemaking Portal, it provides you with that web address for submitting your comments. You can fax them. Mail Council Environmental Agency, 730 Jackson Place, Washington, D.C. All submissions received must include an agency name, Council of Environmental Quality, and docket number. For the RFI, comments received will be posted without change. And they tell you that the name of the individual or entity responding, a brief description of the responding individual, entity's mission of area of expertise, a contact or questions on or other follow-up or response. And then it says for future information contacts, and it gives you a RFI, a person who you can send this information to. It provides a telephone number and an email. So it's here. You can find that information. As I indicated, it is right here on our website at positivechangepc.com under news and events, and you'll be able to dive right into that, and you'll be able to make sure that your opinion is heard. Now, we're going to stroll on down in this particular article, and we're going to look at the framework. To get the sense of the EEC, we'll be responding to the RFI. Check out things below. Vision. The Council on Environmental Quality views the Environmental Justice Scope Board as a robust and comprehensive assessment of federal government's efforts to address caring and historic environment injustice, including the Justice Board. Does this vision reflect the needs and priorities of communities that face environmental injustice? Emerald Cities agrees that the EJ Scope Board should be robust and comprehensive assessment of the administration environmental justice efforts. However, the current vision statement is overly broad. The QEC should be more intentional in articulating the purposes of the EJ Scope Board. These reporting categories outlined in the RFI by the EGCEQ, reducing harmful burdens on EG, delivering justice for it, centering community voices in decision making. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a slight pause for the calls here on Solar Now in the future with its economic impact. We will be right back here as we take another look going on with our opportunities to respond. And I think Mrs. Denise Fairchild, who is a dynamic African-American woman who is the founder of Emerald Cities Collaboration, has put her finger on the pulse of what is happening as relates to African-American communities, because most, nine times out of ten, these original policies are drafted up, we're not in the room. So we're going to take a slight pause for the cause. We'll be right back here.
Life is a song worth singing. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And we were just discussing the People's Community Benefit Playbook. And this was written by a staff person with the Emerald Cities Collaborative, which is headed by founded by Mrs. Denise Fairchild. Now, as I was indicating, what they have come up with, ladies and gentlemen, is what they call the Environmental Justice Scoreboard. And in doing so, certain things have been outlined, and in the framework, in reference to the three reporting categories highlighted in phase one, does these categories broadly reflect the needs and priorities and impact that communities are facing in environmental injustice areas? In other words, does this speak to the needs of communities of color? ECC agrees that centering community voices, reducing the disproportionate harm burdens of environmental justice communities, and delivering on the American administration's Justice 40 goals are necessary first steps that the CEQ should be taking in the first initial steps. Co-board, however, this point should not be the stopping point as it relates to measuring the advancing of these three categories. ECC believes that the CEQ should be upon those categories to ensure future considerations of the EJA scoreboard continue to push the administration to remedy the environmental harms disproportionately felt by Black, Brown, and Indigenous people of color. The CEQ should do the following: reducing harm and burden disproportionate by communities. Once the CEQ has established a baseline for regulatory enforcement and other actions to reduce environmental injustice, the CEQ should create and publish an action plan detailing how the administration will improve upon the baseline measures. This action plan will be create a collaboration and not just consulting necessary agency officials to ensure buy-ins, as well as White House Intergovernmental Justice Advisory Councils to ensure environmental justice have a say in naming tangible action steps that lead to direct community benefits. Once the action plan is published, EJL scoreboard should clearly depict each element of the action plan and chart agencies' progress toward achieving each action plan, delivering justice for the related invest investment benefits. Once the CEQ stands where the agency stands, is meeting, hopefully exceeding, the goal of ensuring that at least 40% of federal climate and clean energy investment are benefiting disadvantaged communities, the EJ scoreboard should identify where these agencies are meeting the Justice 40 goals, work with them to implement measures to increase their progress. The measures can be include similar steps taken to the Justice 40 pilot program that was designed to maximize benefit to disadvantages for underserved and overburdened communities, identifying barriers of constraints these communities face when attempting to engage with these programs, the working and available, and those barriers and constraints to ensure programs, particularly disadvantaged communities. Okay, all of this information is here, ladies and gentlemen. We've come to the end of our time. So I hope that we are providing you some news that you can definitely use. But, you know, the clock has ticked. And as the little boy says, you know, we don't want to go, but the clock says we got to get out of here. So this show is brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned design, EV charge, EV manufacturing, installation, workforce development, and other African-American-owned renewable energy companies to address the high effects of energy costs at our historically black colleges and universities, to also utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for renewable energy projects to bring down the underemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and need for environmental education through Black Talk radio programs such as Solar Now and The Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you also know the show was brought to you today by the Black Sports Legend Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. You can get more information by logging where? PositiveChangePC.com. Go over to our GoFundMe link and you'll get more information on that. Also is brought to you by the National Association of Blacks in Solar. So, ladies and gentlemen, till next week, we want you to meet us back here. We want you to meet us back here as we close another exciting edition of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And until next week, we say go in peace.
Song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you?